guys. Welcome back to the 63rd episode of the 443 podcast. Coming to you again on Thursday from the beautiful area of North Phoenix. Reese, how you doing?
It's getting chilly outside, man. Still wearing shorts because it's not that cold yet, but I'm getting close to hoodie weather.
Oh, dude, I wore a sweater today and jeans to the office. And I got to tell you, getting home from the office was not fun, but going out in a nice thick sweater in that crisp morning weather.
Felt nice.
Oh, man, dude, it kind of makes me want to move someplace cold, but then I realize I have to deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get nice and hot in the afternoon.
It's like the real four seasons if you were
to move. Yeah. But we had the 443 Derby this weekend.
Yes, let's jump right into it, guys.
Kind of a pulsating 1-1 draw between Arsenal and Chelsea. Both teams could have won it. It had shades of that game at the Bridge last year.
For sure. And I do think, to kind of sum up the game, at least what I saw was, I think Arsenal had better team-constructed opportunities and more of a team-oriented performance. And I think Chelsea more stood out with their individual performances. For example, Cucurella, Caicedo, and Neto. Whereas Arsenal, I really like what Partey did defensively. Last time I say Partey on a podcast until we get some clarification on his off-field antics. But we'll leave it there. But Matt, what did you think about the game?
I saw shades of the Arsenal that I've seen the last couple seasons. Unfortunately, a lot of it was composed of players that can only play maybe 50 to 70 minutes. Marino coming on, he could only look like he played half the game. Same, I think Rice came off for him.
Yeah, Rice was battling a broken toe. He was subbed off for Marino.
And Marino came in, but neither of those guys looked like they could. Marino started to fade at the end of that for his like 30, 40-minute period he had. Yeah. It just looks like a team that needs like to rest, and I kind of like that a lot of our players aren't playing on international break because I understand why people like international football. I'm not the biggest fan of it. And
maybe it's because our nation isn't good and we don't have like a fun Euro competition type of thing. Is that it? Or is it more so we're club over country?
Well, it's because one of the things I look at this is in America, your team may get a bye week, but the entire sport of the NFL doesn't take a break during the NFL season.
Exactly.
It's just the week the Chiefs don't play. And I'm going to go, hey, you know, is Reese going to watch the game? Maybe I'll go watch a Saints game. Maybe I'll work on yoga. Maybe I'll go take the Paco out and let him pee on nature. But like, we're not used to that. Like, the closest thing we have is like the All-Star break in the NBA. But the All-Star break in the NBA is where we get to celebrate the players that on all the teams coming together. I mean, I don't really like the All-Star break either. I'd rather just keep going through the season, but still.
Let's get into the game itself. Just a quick recap. First half, I think it should have ended 1-1 in the first half. I think Martinelli had a big opportunity along with Malo Gusto. Both of them should have been on the score sheet, but both did not come to fruition. Very evenly matched contest, I would say. Towards the end of the game, Arsenal definitely, once Chelsea scored and made substitutions, mm-hmm. I think that's where they made the mistake, or Enzo made the mistake of, because those substitutions did not impact the game and Arsenal really settled in.
They looked like they wanted to hold their draw, not win the game, which was something I was very surprised with from your coach, because I thought he would, because if he beats Arsenal, you guys have leapfrogged and been in third?
Yes.
Like a firm third, not like a third with goal differential.
Yeah, and I don't think it was more so
2 points off City,
yeah.
2 points above Arsenal, with a solid shot at third.
I don't think they were trying to lose the game. I just don't think the substitutions were very good when they came on.
They weren't trying to win. I don't think they were trying to lose. I thought he was just trying to hold for a draw when he should have been going for the win.
Well, when Mudryk came on, he tried to do that left-footed cross thing that he scored against you guys last year. I'm like, dude, you're not going to hit that twice in a row. Like, you're never going to do that again. So just he didn't make an impact off the bench, and Kunku did not make an impact off the bench. And it almost felt like Chelsea got tired out those last 15 minutes.
And like Mudryk going back to something old, because like you're not facing the David Raya that you faced at the beginning of last season. You're facing the David Raya who's the Golden Glove winner, who's sure of his position in this team. Ramsdale's gone. There is no shaky, I get taken out for Ramsdale like the beginning of last season, where I think it was like the second or third game. It was very early on because Arsenal fans were mad at him because they didn't know what they had. And I didn't think they because like I loved Ramsdale. Mm-hmm. And now we're coming into it. And when I saw that, I was just like, oh, you got to be kidding me, Mudryk. Is that the only thing you can do?
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. Now, into the goals itself, Arsenal had a really good team-constructed goal. Was it was it Odegaard that played the cross?
Yeah, Odegaard to Havertz.
Not the offside goal. The one in the second half that you actually scored from. Was that
from Martinelli?
Yeah. So Martinelli's goal, I think it came from Odegaard.
Well, I loved as he corrected himself from the first one. He did what made him correct. He should have made that goal the first time.
For sure. And Chelsea just got caught lacking in defense. Terrible, terrible defending. And then into our goal. It felt like I've seen different Arsenal opinions on this. I want to hear yours with Neto's goal. Do you think it should have been I think it was Timber playing left back for you guys. Do you think it should have been Timber or Martinelli? Because when I watched the goal, it felt like Martinelli just kind of let him run into the channel, and then it forced Saliba and Gabriel and Timber to kind of collide onto Neto for that goal.
This is what I was talking about. He didn't have enough substitutions for the amount of players that he needed. Timber should have covered him. I think Timber was out of gas, and Martinelli didn't catch it.
I gotcha.
That's what I was thinking after watching it on a replay. But like I said, like I think probably half the team you needed to sub out, and you just didn't have the bodies you trusted to fill in. And one of those guys that got left on the pitch was Timber.
I think the international break came at a great time for you guys. I know you're still going to have players that are in international play, but there's a lot of players who have withdrawn from their teams.
Yeah, Saka and Rice have withdrawn. Odegaard went and then got sent back. Yeah. But White, your guy you dislike, he had some surgeries. He's probably out for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, I mean, I guess the two...
Minor surgery, sorry.
Yeah. Now, a lot of fans are starting to question this Arteta phase five process. Do you agree with like the Lee Gunner fans where they're kind of like, it's Arteta out time, or are you still in the boat?
Still in the questioning boat. He can still win me back, but if, like, how do I put this? Just like you guys questioned Pochettino at the end, I saw a lot of Chelsea fans. There were a bunch of people. I think you might have been in this camp where even though you guys were winning and...
It didn't feel right.
I'm getting to the point where it's like, okay, man. Like, I don't know who we replace him with, but I think we need to start looking at succession plans.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at if we don't win this year. Because, like...
Yeah.
I know that they're trying to wind us up, but still, it's been 20 years since we won a title. You guys are coming up on the 10th year anniversary of you guys not winning the title.
Yeah.
But you have a Champions League in between there. So you guys are in a different boat. Spurs haven't won a title since Color TV hit the UK, from what I understand. Man United, they passed their 10-year mark. They haven't won a title since Van Persie switched that first season. Liverpool is the only team that's in besides you guys, that's won the title in a while. Leicester doesn't look like they're going to win a title.
Yeah.
So we're getting into this period where who can call themselves a big club now?
Yeah.
Because like Arsenal and United are in these spots where they're not looking good. If you guys go from when you won the Champions League, then you're still at the 5 or 6 year mark.
Correct.
You still have time to correct it. But if you're looking at league titles, then you're almost at your 10-year mark since that first season you got Conte from but I'm starting to worry about us being able to hold on to that big thing. Because have you seen this thing where they guys go out and ask Arsenal fans would they trade the Invincibles for a Champions League?
Yes.
I would, because the Invincibles doesn't matter. It's an accent to a trophy.
Premier League trophy's still there regardless.
Yeah, you won the Premier League no matter what. It's not saying you take away that Premier League. You just take away the little trophy. I hate when they call it like the Kinder Egg trophy. It's still an accomplishment because only two teams have ever done it. The first season under Preston North End. And Arsenal in 2003.
And now Leverkusen.
But they're not, that's what I'm saying, in the English leagues. Because AC Milan's done it. Lisbon's done it. Like, other, you know.
Arsenal's next.
Rangers and Celtic have done it multiple times.
Arsenal's next 6 games. Forest at home. West Ham away. United home. Fulham away. Everton home. Palace away. I think those next 6 games.
Is Forest at home?
Forest is home. That's your next game. I think these are very, I'll be honest, Matt. I think these are sort of a good test.
You said 5 games?
Six.
Six. Okay.
I think these 6 games are very favorable for you guys. And I think if you can build some confidence on it, I think you guys are still in this title race. Or do you think you're still in this title race?
I think we're better than the 3% we're given on that Okta thing or whatever it is.
Opta, yeah.
Yeah, Opta. I think we're closer to 10 right now. But again, Liverpool was in after 20 games, should have won the league last year. If that's if you're in pole position now,
exactly.
Like we've been in the pole position for the last 2 years, and City is still the favorite. We were never the favorite.
Do you think? Well, I guess we'll get into it, but yeah, I mean, and we know firsthand what second half of the season City looks like. So it's like,
well, can they generate that without Rodri and De Bruyne?
we'll get into it. Yeah. Any final thoughts before we move on?
This was not the game Arsenal needed. Arsenal needed to win this game because you were fretting. You were sending me those memes and stuff and infographics.
Yes.
And I was just like, dude, why are you putting yourself down? You're a team on the rise. We're a team on the fall. You needed to win. Both teams need to win this game. The worst result that could have happened was a draw. Yep. Even if Arsenal had lost this game, I think it was worse to draw it because both teams either needed momentum or they needed clarity. And a draw doesn't give either team clarity or momentum.
I'm fine with the draw personally as a Chelsea fan because if you would have
asked... You're not proper Chelsea.
If you would have asked me...
Just kidding, man.
I know. If you would have asked me before the season started if we would be third place with the type of schedule that our teams have had, I'd be kissing your feet for it. You know what I'm saying? Pause.
I picture your team to be third, I think, or fourth.
Right, but
I hate that I believe in your team more than you, and you believe in my team more than I do.
Well, this is and it just comes down to it being a new system, new coach, and I didn't think that this would be an adjustment they'd make that quickly, but to each their own.
So to answer your question on the next six games, I think Arsenal should have no less. So what's the maximum they can get? 32?
Six times or three is 18.
18. I think the least amount of points they should get out of that run is 16.
I'd say 18, man. I think these are all very... it's hard to win six straight in the Premier League.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They might get one draw along the way. Somebody might come along and get them a funky draw where they go 1-0 up and Arsenal does that thing where they enter the horseshoe of death and then they get a goal or something.
We'll have to see where United is at that time because that's like the third game in the run. Mm-hmm. So.
We don't know what Amarin's going to be. We don't know what they're going to do. Like, are they going to try and resurrect Anthony? I have no clue what's going to happen. Yeah.
Credit to both sides. Next game here, guys. We have Brighton at home coming from behind 1-0 to beat Manchester City 2-1. Matt, this game was scenes. It felt like after the first half when City got their goal, I'll get into the Haaland goal in a moment, but it felt like after the first half that Hertzler made an adjustment and Pep and the team could not work their way around it.
This is what I was worried about with City. They don't have... Watching City when they were competing against Liverpool, before Liverpool had won, you'd see that City had like four different teams they could do. Yeah. Now they only have one or two. And if two doesn't click, one doesn't click, they have no more things they can shift into. Losing Alvarez I think Alvarez would have helped them in this game.
In this sort of style of play that Brighton has?
Well, just something to give them pause on the attack. Because it looked like once they locked up Haaland, once they made their adjustments, they kind of locked up Haaland. They didn't really have much threat on the attack from what I saw.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, guys, sorry, I was watching this game trying to do other things. I had it on my laptop in my garage, working on my car, cleaning it up.
How's the car?
It's doing great. I'm a little sad that somebody hit it with a shopping cart or something. Now there's a pretty good gash in it. Jeez. I'm going to try and get some polishing cloths and see if I can buff it out.
All the best there, man. I think with this game, I guess I'll give some credit to City. I think Savinho is a really good player. He has a lot of potential. I think they need to sort of find a way to invert him a little bit more because him and Haaland have a connection there, it feels like. Mm-hmm. But Savinho himself is not getting enough opportunity on goal. And he has I don't think he has scored yet, but he has six assists. Get the guy inside, give him a little Bowen roll type of roll, and let him see if he can shoot in front of goal. I think that gives him a little bit more attacking prowess.
Let me ask you a question. So since the infamous stay humble line, they've only won 44% of their games. Yes. Is it a curse, or is it just it came at the game where Rodri got hurt, and then they started to peter out once they had to start having to play so much competitions?
Yeah, I mean, it to
me... I don't know why I sounded like kind of dunce there. So much competitions.
You know how I feel about Rodri and how important he is to this team. I think Rodri, it's more Rodri being out more than anything.
Ballon d'Or winning Rodri.
Exactly. We have a new guy that we should keep an eye on the City team. You know how we had Oscar Bob last year? Center back, Simpson Pousset or Pousset.
Ah, dude, Pousset. I feel so bad for that. Dude, he is a really good under-21 player. And to watch, what's his name? The Bane guy? You adapted to the dog.
Gorkish.
just make him look like a clown's a strong term. He just kept running through him, and he didn't seem to have any answers to him.
The second goal that...
In the Champions League. Sorry, guys. This is a Champions League continuity, not Premier League continuity.
The first goal that...
I like that term, change the continuities of the competitions.
There you go.
Because I know your buddy is big on us like explaining what we're talking about.
Exactly. The first goal that Brighton scored, Vardiol would just... I don't know what he was doing, but he was like kicking Rico Lewis, it felt like, more than the actual ball. So I don't know, man. It's sloppy at defense. I think much
leave
like...
Leave Rico alone. Sorry. Exactly. He's a young man.
Exactly. Why are you kicking him, Vardiol? But I feel like much like Arsenal...
Great hair.
Yeah. Much like Arsenal City have had the international break come at a good time for them, because a lot of these players are not going to be called up. Like, I don't... Haaland did play today. He's going to be in the international break. You don't have to worry about Haaland. Haaland's not the problem with this team. It's basically everybody behind him. Savino.
Everyone.
Exactly. So credit to Brighton, man. I think João Pedro had the game of his life against them. He was just fantastic. What are your final thoughts before we move on?
I feel very, like how to describe this? It's interesting to see City under pressure because... Every time they've been under pressure, we thought they could get out of the pressure.
Yeah.
The last couple years. The one season they let Liverpool win, Liverpool was just running away with it. I think when COVID started, John Oliver was saying they needed 2 points, and they had like 12 games left to get those 2 points to mathematically lock up the title. This is the first time they're sweating, and I don't know if they can get out of it. I don't know unless they do something where like they basically buy the PGO Moel, yep. And then when you ref them, the refs just go, hurt them. Just to come out with bats, and it's not even a game. Like Haaland's just like bodying like a 19-year-old kid from Southampton, just beating him. Just
much like we did with Arsenal. I want to go over the next just 6 games. So
sorry, guys. I have weird emotions with this team because they've traumatized me.
Yeah, Matt's but developing now, a hatred for the City side.
But now you look at them and they're like. The two, because like I warned, I said this since we started the podcast, De Bruyne is one of the best players in the world. You have him with arguably the best player in the world, in Rodri. You remove both those guys and you're left with a team that doesn't look like the City team that Pep inherited.
They are built around those two players.
Yeah, and they didn't used to be. They used to have like 9 midfielders and 4, or 10 midfielders and 4 and 6 defenders, and then they would kind of like weld Sergio Aguero on top of it. And now it doesn't look like that kind of team anymore.
Yeah. They need to find something in the middle. Phil Foden, brother, we are waiting for you to return. Next 6 games for City before we move on, Matt. Tottenham at home, the boogeyman.
I don't think they're the boogeyman under Ange anymore. They lost their mojo.
We'll get into it. We'll get in. Settle down, Matt. We're good, brother. We're coasting. Next after that, Liverpool away, Forest at home, Palace away, United at home, Villa away. So very tough 6 games coming for City. So it's not going to get any easier anytime soon. Into the next game here, guys. We have Tottenham at home losing to Ipswich 2-1. Matt, now continue your point about
Tottenham. My mother was very happy at this game. Yes. My mother was, I'm trying to do a really bad Donald Trump Jr. impression. My father.
Billions and millions and billions of dollars.
You know, I'm trying to do Donald Trump Jr. where he says my father. It makes me feel weird because I've never referred to my dad as my father. And I think calling him my father, other than in like an interview for the military.
I thought it meant like a Star Wars type of.
Yeah, it just kind of he puts up a very weird vibe with that. Fair enough. Okay, but my mom was very happy for this game. She could not believe. And you said your mom's an Arsenal fan and an Ipswich. I go, no, my mom doesn't hate Arsenal, but she doesn't like Arsenal. She's like, they're too big. She doesn't like the big teams.
Respect.
She doesn't like the Chiefs. She's a Cardinals fan because she likes the feeling of being the underdog.
Respect.
Cardinals in the NFL. And she was extremely happy to see Ipswich get their first win. And I got to tell you, I couldn't believe that Tottenham allowed this to happen at home. Remember when the first couple of years they had that new stadium, they had like that aura of like that building that home ground. And it just seemed like when they went City win last year, they just let it all fade away. You can't just choose to give up your momentum and then expect it to come back.
They lose to Palace. They beat Man City in the Carabao Cup. They beat Aston Villa. They lose to Galatasaray. They lose to Ipswich. They're like the inverse of Fulham last season. You know how Fulham would always give the big teams a run for their money? Spurs are just losing to the bad teams and able to beat the better teams in the league right now. I don't know what the hell is happening right now, honestly.
Well, we'll talk about it next, but I think them beating Villa was kind of not the outlier. I think it's the new standard. I think Villa's fallen into that trap of Newcastle.
Definitely a possibility.
So to me, taking a Villa scalp isn't as impressive as we thought it would be this season.
The record right now for Spurs is 5-1-5, and it's just like, I think Boss needs to look for more of a balance with this team, because this team doesn't have the quality to play the style of football that he wants to play, and it's coming to a detriment for him. As for Ipswich, man, I don't know why City let go of Liam Delap. City Academy born product there, man.
So from what I understand, it's the same reason you guys have Cole Palmer. He thinks he is good enough to play, and they wouldn't give him guaranteed minutes, which I understand.
Plays behind Megatron.
Yeah, which I understand why they didn't do it, but selling him to Ibs was just, I'm just like, why didn't like an Arsenal or like a Tottenham or, you know, or somebody like pick him up? Like,
yeah, I mean, he didn't look like that type of player who was ready for that type of football yet, because he was at Blackpool last season, I think.
But Cole Palmer kind of looked like he was, but he wasn't all the way there. And I think you guys, I kind of thought it was a big gamble on him.
Well, yeah, because we paid $47 million for him. He was 21 years old, so it's like in the mold of the project. So it looked like, again, a weird signing from Chelsea. But hey, in regards to Spurs, I don't like...
Well, I think it was because you got him so cheap, and he was so good.
I don't think we knew how good he was at the time, but I don't know what's wrong with this defense, man. With Bentancur, Dragusin, and Romero, they've just been so bad. Like, they need Van de Ven back. He is the key to their team. So, yeah, Spurs. Well, I have a lot of questions for
you. Yeah, So
you can't let Brandon Johnson be your savior every game. You can't. It can't be a thing. He's not the guy that could be a savior for this team. So when a movable object meets a stoppable force, you have Manchester City versus Tottenham next, because you got four loss in a row City versus two loss in a row Spurs. I don't know, man.
I'm going to be honest with you.
That game's going to be carnage.
I think that Tottenham's losses are kind of more unforgivable based on who they lost to.
So you're sort of over the Spurs team now, basically.
Well, I always have a natural, like, not dislike, but kind of like the Clippers are looked at by the Lakers from being a fan of another North London club that's accomplished stuff. And it always kind of seemed like they always were trying to beat us more than they were trying to win things. And Arsenal fell into the top four trap for a while because they needed the money to sustain them to buy transfers to compete for the top four. So that's all that mattered for a long time. I think 10, 15 years. The 2 years after the Invincibles, after City raided them, it just became this thing where they were just trying to stay in the top four so they wouldn't lose that money, so they could say they were a big club because of their revenues. Tottenham has never been about that. Tottenham is like, they had their one run under Pochettino and they got nothing for it. If they had even won like the Carabao Cup, I think they would be in a lot better standing as a club.
Well, and that's the thing, Matt, is, and a lot of people are Boss out right now. A lot of fans are.
I think Boss wants out because I don't think he realizes that this fan base is so entrenched and angry. I don't think he can change them.
So with Boss, with people saying Boss out, it goes beyond the Boss at this time, because if you look where they were under Conte had them in first place until December. Everything fell apart. He was sacked after that. Jose Mourinho got that team to a Carabao Cup final. They sacked him before the final because they didn't like the finish.
I thought it was absolute bullshit.
And then they
let the man get his trophy.
They fire Santos after 6 weeks into the job, who's now killing it with Nottingham Forest. It's just, it goes, it's Daniel Levy. It's the people above these managers, because one, the scouting's been terrible. You brought back Timo Werner for a second loan spell. Like, we know what Timo Werner is now.
I thought you were a Werner in.
If you are a Spurs fan and you think of yourself as a big club, you are not bringing a player you saw a lot of last season miss huge opportunities for you guys and bring him back again. So, yeah, I think it goes beyond Boss, the team. It goes straight to the very top with the people running the club at this time. As for Ipswich, very happy for them to get their first win.
I still think they're in trouble, but we'll see. You ready to head over to Liverpool Villa?
Let's do it.
All right, Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 0. Goals from Darwin Nunez and Mohamed Salah.
Vintage.
Put them over.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off.
Put them over. Go ahead. I was almost done.
My apologies. Vintage counterattacks on both occasions. First goal, Salah was like murdered right outside the box, and Darwin Nunez just... hands pointed straight up, runs right out
like
the
Terminator
ball.
From Terminator 2.
Thank you, that freaking dude.
Yeah, T-1000.
Yes, and then he places a beautiful shot around Emiliano Martinez, and then a vintage solid goal and another counterattack to end the game. Matt, tell me why you are not convinced of this Villa team anymore.
I think that they're running into the same problem Newcastle did. They're running into the Champions League format is ripping them apart. And this is a new Champions League format. They're doing great in the Champions League, and they're not doing great. Well, actually, I can't lie. They are still doing great. They've got 3 wins from 4, and they lost to Brest, but they got some impressive scalps.
And Brest are great to look at.
Okay, good joke.
I had to
have it. All right. So, but like they beat Bayern Munich. They're doing great in the Champions League, but by doing that, they've lost their Premier League form. I don't know if they have the ability to win that competition and giving up their bread and butter. Because at least Newcastle, when they faltered, they just completely were tossed out of it. Villa are pretty much guaranteed to move on to the, or at least have a shot the next round if they move into the playoff bracket. Yeah. But they're still in the top like 6 of the Champions League.
And I think the reason for that, it just comes down to squad depth. I don't think they have the much, as you said, I don't know if this was pre-pod or a little bit earlier in the podcast where you mentioned them turning into sort of Newcastle this season.
Mm-hmm. I've mentioned it twice in this pod.
Okay, just double check it. Much like Newcastle, they didn't have the squad depth to compete in both competitions, and I think they're running into that issue. Although Villa spent a lot of money, it's more so in that starting 11 that they've invested so much in.
They spent a lot of money filling a hole left by the guy, the Brazilian guy who went to Juventus. I forget his name.
Douglas Luiz.
Yeah, I always want to call him David Luiz, but I know I'm wrong. But they had to buy the guy from Everton to fill the hole for him. So they did spend a lot of money, and they got some money, and they got those young guys in the trade, basically. But
that's, again, that's starting 11 mm-hmm. type of help. No depth behind this team. They brought in Morgan Rogers, who's been thrown right into the starting 11 because he sold Moussa Diaby to the freaking Saudi Arabian league.
Like, oh, brother. I forgot about Diaby.
Yeah, like, dude, like, come on, guys. But they did have some FFP issues, so maybe, you know, that's a portion to do with it. But what I will say, Matt, is I think with Villa, I am worried with you, and I think they, now that you've mentioned Newcastle being sort of that sort of comparison, and I've been questioning their midfield all season. It's time to ring some alarm bells. They may need to make a move in January coming up to save their Premier League season and also give them a push in the Champions League.
I think a lot of teams need to make a move in January. City, Arsenal, Villa, maybe not Newcastle, and probably not Liverpool.
What do you think the biggest hole in for Arsenal is? Where do you want to see your team invest?
They need a winger or a central attacker or somebody who can play all three. I think we just need more options up front.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Like Liverpool has the 5 guys, they rotate in those 3 spots.
Let's do the next 6 games for Liverpool here just to give you guys an idea of where this title race is heading towards. They have Southampton away next, followed by Manchester City at home, Newcastle away. Newcastle have started to pick up some form. Everton away, so the Merseyside derby. Was that good?
Not really.
That was not Liverpool.
They kind of pushed their accent more through their nasal cavity.
Sadio Mane.
Yeah, Sadio Mane.
The Merseyside derby.
Like you're pushing it.
There we go.
The Merseyside derby. That was a lot better. And then you push it up through the nasal cavity. That's how they do their accent.
Very true. Then Fulham.
I only know because there was a bunch of Scousers in York when I was there for some reason. And because they were playing Sodnal Moors, and Sodnal Moors is from outside Liverpool.
Gotcha. Fulham home and then Tottenham away. So I'd say it's like a balanced sort of next 6 games for them. They have a couple sort of favorable games, and they have tough games as well. Do you think, this is my question with you for Liverpool, do you think this form is sustainable for them? Do you think they really go through this season? Right, I think right now they're undefeated. They're not going to go undefeated, obviously. No, did they lose a game?
They've lost a game to Forest.
They've lost to Forest?
Yeah, they lost to Forest. I remember it was home or away, but Forest beat them.
That's right. Sorry.
Because there was that meme of Forest, Arsenal, and Manchester City at one point laughing at all the other teams that were defeated with that dancing in the moonlight meme with the guys in the van. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Where it was every team except for those. So that's how I remember it.
Do you think Liverpool can sustain this form till the end of the season?
It's hard to say because they aren't as aggressive as they used to be. They aren't as hard charging. Under Klopp, I would say no. But under Slot, I don't know. Because they don't press as hard. They don't do the gegenpress as like to the extreme that they did under Klopp.
They're also willing to be more of a mid-block like mm-hmm. you guys are. They're willing to succeed possession. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that's a cop-out of an answer, but I just don't know. If this was Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool, I would say no, they can't sustain it.
And I guess including the Champions League after Southampton.
That's right. They are also the best team in the Champions League.
Yeah, so after Southampton, they play Real Madrid at home. And then they
play, they'll smoke them.
Yeah, and then they play City on the weekend and then Newcastle. So they actually have a very tough four games coming up after Southampton. So we'll see how good this team really is when that. Real Madrid at home midweek and then playing City in the weekend's tough.
But
man.
Madrid tough. Aren't good this season. They haven't figured it out. They grafted that Mbappe on thinking it would be like a Haaland or Sergio Aguero.
Do we not think that Real Madrid will give them a run for their money? Come on. It's still Real Madrid, man. Regardless of, I know they lost to Milan. Mbappe can't seem to figure out how to play striker anymore. Bellingham roams into Mbappe's space and runs in behind the lines. And
if I were Ancelotti, I would set Mbappe down and just play against Liverpool, the team that won the Champions League, and they'll beat Liverpool.
Didn't they beat Liverpool in the Champions League final?
They beat Liverpool on the way to it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, they... No, Liverpool wasn't in the final eight. If they did, they did it in before the final eight.
That Real Madrid beat Inter in the final, and yeah. I think they beat Liverpool in the semifinal.
Who did they beat? No, they beat Borussia Dortmund in the final. Because remember, it was Arsenal, Manchester City, Bayern Munich, and Real Madrid all were in one bracket along with Barcelona, which isn't the Barcelona we have now.
City beat Inter for the final. Yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Because it was Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, and I don't even remember the other two teams in the other bracket.
So, in regards to, I guess we could do a quick stoppage time on Real Madrid. I don't know if Bellingham or Mbappe should be in the team. I think one of them has to sit out. I'm with you.
I would go with the guy who won you a Champions League over the guy that seemed to have come in and just blown the team up.
I don't know, man. In my opinion, he is still the best player in the world, even with how bad he's been this season.
Sorry about that, guys. Excuse me. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what's going on with Real Madrid. I don't watch enough, but watching the Barcelona team we thought were dead just put their head on a stick. I have no clue what's going on in La Liga anymore.
Credit to Liverpool. Sorry for going off tangent there, guys.
You ready to let's burn through the last couple games?
Do you want
to
hit up the Glazers at Manchester United?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Man United's back. They're going to win the title.
In the Field of Dreams, Manchester United defeats Leicester 3-0 behind a beautiful goal from Bruno Fernandes in the first half, and then Garnacho with the beautiful outside-the-box curler in the second half.
I mean, future Cristiano Ronaldo replacement, Garnacho.
I've seen a lot of United fans start to turn on Garnacho, so I don't know if they have that same sentiment anymore. It's weird.
Why would they turn on Garnacho?
Well, it's more so they did not like his
performance. Was it that suit at the Ballon d'Or?
It was the performance against Chelsea, and then I guess the performance before that that got Ten Hag sacked, I guess they were not happy with. So, but, you know, I'm a Garnacho guy, so you can always send him over to the bridge. You know, him and Sancho can team up down the left side.
I mean, I wouldn't take him at Arsenal, but...
Why not? You know, him and Martinelli.
It's his attitude. I don't like him. The what he puts off.
Where he sits on the wall after each goal. You know, like when he does a little sit on the wall. Oh, really quickly, actually, yeah. On the Ipswich Tottenham game, the second goal the first goal where the guy scores the bike. This was at Tottenham Stadium, but like perfectly as Ipswich scored, the advertisements roam across. Mm-hmm. All pink and matching exactly Ipswich's color when they scored. I was very it was very color organized. I was like, is this Ipswich second ground here? By the way, sorry. I was just thinking about that because, dude, it was a weird color. Like, dude, I don't know. Sorry.
Stuff like that happens. Remember when I was on about that guy's hair, the hair transplant surgery that would always happen? Like, we were watching all these games when we first started this pod, and I would only normally watch Arsenal, maybe one other big game.
Yep.
And I started to watch all these smaller games. And I'm like, why are there so many hair transplant surgery ads in these stadiums? It was any stadium that wasn't in the top six, hair transplant people in Turkey were advertising. And it's little weird things that when you notice, because you don't notice it if you watch it in the replay.
Right.
But you watch it when it's live because you just see it over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's what I was watching on Sunday. I was like, wait a minute. It looks a little too nice.
Yeah, and it wasn't a guy's hair. It was like a hair transplant people from Turkey.
But really quickly with United, comfortable performance. It was Leicester, so I'm not really convinced as of yet. But Amorim is coming in. Hopefully he is the Glazers' lord and savior, or else the Glazers are still on fraud watch as they have been since 2005? 10? 12? I don't know. Into the next game here, guys. We have Nottingham Forest at home, losing to Newcastle 3-1. really quickly, the Forest goal set piece was very nice, and Maria had a very nice Brazilian dance celebration. So shout out to Maria. He is one of my favorite players. But Newcastle, second half, made an adjustment where they just opened up Nottingham Forest. Like, you go to the club when you turn 21 with your grandparents, and they want to show you the world, and they open you eyes to it. And then they hand a lady a couple dollars. She takes you into a different room, and you just start feeling a little weird. And then you come out of the room, and you're like, why has my grandpa given me a couple dollars for this? You then leave that said club. You're still confused about what you saw. There's a lot of music in the car. He drops you off. You're still traumatized about what happened. That's what happened to Nottingham Forest.
I think we're going to stop doing the 4-4-3 football podcast. We're going to do the 4-4-3 how did they hurt you, Reese, podcast.
I'm kidding, guys. My grandpa never took me to a strip club or anything like that.
You just kept going. I'm like, I know where the story's going, but I don't believe this happened to you.
You just put down your papers and you're just like,
I had seen this like story on like the internet, and I knew, because this is a my generation story. This is the boomers going, you got to be a man.
Gen Z doesn't get that stuff.
The generation you purport to be from, even though you're an ancient man from the mists of time, you know, like Vandal Savage.
Yep.
Your generation doesn't have this because you were raised by Gen X, which exactly. Didn't do that kind of stuff.
They were the
stuff.
Traumatized ones.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're latchkey kids. Ah. Oh, you didn't drink from the hose.
Into the game itself.
Sorry, man. To my three Gen X friends. I still like you guys. I just get tired of everyone saying the hose thing. Yeah, we drank from the hose too in my generation.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And it was not good, but...
No, it was disgusting. I hated it. It's just that it was harder to get into the house to get a glass of water than to just do it from the hose.
Shout out the hose water drinkers. Yeah. Joelinton goal was very nice, left-footed curler off the post, but it's a little sad to see this Forest run in, but like, Matt, we could touch the table here real quick. We haven't touched it in a couple weeks.
They're still in the top 10. If you had told Forest they'd be top 10 at 11 games in, I think they'd bite their hand off for it and beat Liverpool.
Sixth place through third place is all tied with 19 points. That's Chelsea, Arsenal, Forest, and Brighton. And then 1 point behind them is Fulham, Newcastle, Villa. Yeah, and that's the ninth spot. So all of these teams are all fighting for a third place opportunity. Guys, the league is beautiful. That's all I wanted to touch base on. Credit to Newcastle in a resilient win on a comeback.
So I'm going to do this question right now so I don't forget because of stoppage time, because I'm going to be honest with you. I think doing these on Thursday afternoon is a little odd for both of us. Do you think that Manchester United pipping you guys to get into the Europa League was the stupidest thing they could have done? Because I think that they would have won the Europa Conference. It's something they needed to bet in this new manager. And you guys are competing at Europa League, lower Champions League level football. Not even lower Champions League. I'm talking like you, of this new bracket, you're competing in the red and the orange, not the green of the three levels.
It's a great question. I think Ten Hag may still be in a job if they're in that tournament over the Europa League, which is a possibility. But I don't think being in the better competition is always best for the club, because it does give you some sort of exposure to players when you play against them. And if you do find a gem like Manchester United found with Cristiano Ronaldo in that night in Porto, what's the green team? You had this problem last week.
Sporting Lisbon.
Sporting Lisbon. Thank you. Why do we confuse them? Anyways.
I don't. Because we don't pay as attention to Portuguese football as much as other leagues.
But United played Sporting Lisbon in the Champions League that one day, found Cristiano Ronaldo. I think that's good. And you won't find those sort of players. You won't be able to expose your club and brand your club if you're not in the biggest competitions possible. But I think it's a great question, Matt, because Ten Hag could still be in a job. United may not be as tired for weekend games, possibly, maybe a little bit more fatigued, because maybe they have to play a little bit stronger of a lineup midweek. I don't know.
I'm just saying, I remember the Man United fans were bragging about it and like really talking down to the Chelsea fans. And I was like, guys, from where you're at, I don't think this is tactically a good thing. It's like when you watch like a war game and somebody gets a great victory and takes a parcel of land, but now they have to defend that. The borders don't favor them. And if you hadn't taken that, you'd be in a better position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just kind of reminded me of that. It's like, oh, it's great you did that, but now you have to keep it safe and you're not going to be able to do that.
Well, as a Chelsea fan, I'm thinking like...
And they were like, oh, Chelsea shit. I'm like,
we finished above them, but yeah. Here's my thing as like a Chelsea fan. I was like, do I want to be the first team to win all three European trophies? I'm like, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Because, you know, you...
Hasn't Rangers already done it?
No, they haven't won the Conference League. That was
No, they won the Conference League.
Fiorentina and Roma are the teams that have won it. Roma with Jose.
And West Ham. Oh, okay. Maybe West Ham is just in the final against somebody.
Gotcha. But I don't know if I want to be that club because that, like, kind of going back to who are the big clubs nowadays, does a European trophy count in that Conference League for you?
So for you guys being locking up the three, I think it's a good thing to do because just like Barcelona has this thing where I don't think the only trophy they've never won, and well, until the Conference League was created, was the Europa League. It was one of those things where they've never won it. I think Real Madrid had won it at some point.
What I'm saying is, like, those types of clubs have never even touched Europa League football, let alone the Conference League. So it's like, does Chelsea win it? It's like, yay, we won all three. We're the first club to do it. But it's like,
first off, Barcelona has played in Europa League, because when I was in Barcelona, I was too late on my flight to actually get to the stadium to watch their Europa League game.
Fair. Okay, maybe Barcelona was not the best example, but maybe PSG. That doesn't count really either because it's League One, but hey, you guys get the idea. But
I know what you mean. But I don't know, man. It just seemed like, I was just like, you guys are bragging on something that's going to bite you in the ass. I could tell it was going to bite him in the ass next year, this season. I could tell.
Let's do a hypothetical. So let's take you back to, what year did Arteta get hired?
2019-2020.
And let's say instead of the FA Cup, it's the Europa Conference League that you win instead. Let's say it magically started that year. Would you take that over the FA Cup instead?
Yes, because we've not won. We've only won one European trophy, but it's the one that got disbanded and nobody counts it.
Okay.
So, and it would be nice. Even they still would have made fun of us, just like they made fun of West Ham. Oh, look at your little tin pot European trophy. Yeah, but now, you know.
You get that. You get to say you won a European trophy.
We can look at some teams like Spurs and be like, oh, you guys haven't won a European trophy since color TV was invented.
Yeah.
But we have. Even though it's a shit one, we still did it.
That's fair. That's fair.
So there's certain teams where things like Arsenal in any European trophy, unless they create a fourth tier European trophy.
Then we're going a little too far.
Yeah. But like you guys with the three, there's certain teams that it kind of locks up your trophy cabinet so you can kind of have them all together.
True.
And you can kind of expand. Now, if West Ham were to do it back to back, I think it would help West Ham. Any of the teams like Ipswich that the conference will enhance, you know what teams it won't enhance? Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool. It won't help those teams. Newcastle, I don't know about Newcastle.
But why would it help Chelsea over a team like Manchester City?
Because then you can say, we're the first to do X.
The triple, I guess.
And that, being the first to do anything, like,
that's true.
Like the Invincibles. You guys having that amazing season where you only let in 15 goals, that's an amazing season. And I always give you credit. And I don't think I've ever disparaged you for that.
Nope.
But you don't have like it's not an asterisk you can kind of like you can look to.
It's not like a record type of thing or a trophy to back it up.
Yeah, because like even though we got that little the Kinder Egg trophy, Arsenal still has that little trophy next to their Premier League trophy that they established that if you become invincible that season you win the title, you get the little trophy.
Yeah.
It's like an asterisk on your trophy. And then you guys will be the first team to ever win all three.
You're convincing me.
So there's certain teams that like it would benefit.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, Tottenham would make fun of us for winning that Arsenal for winning that little trophy. We make fun of Tottenham for winning that trophy. But still, Tottenham hasn't won anything in 20 years. Anything they can win that's an actual real trophy, other than the what's that thing? The Shield. If Tottenham would win any of the European competitions, any of the domestic cups or the league, that would be a major boon for them.
That's true.
They need to win a trophy because they haven't won anything since an Audi Cup, and I don't even know what an Audi Cup is.
That's the preseason tournament.
Oh, then yeah, because they won the Tiger Claw Trophy too. Right?
let's jump back into the games here. Brentford, we'll touch these through these quickly. Brentford defeats Bournemouth 3-2. This game was crazy. Bournemouth went up 1-0. Brentford replied. Bournemouth went up 2-1. Brentford replied, and Brentford punched them in the fucking mouth and knocked them out.
I felt bad for Cherry Prince.
Yeah. And Evan Nielsen starting to really come into his own, the Bournemouth striker, so maybe we have a future archer on our hands, the prince of the house.
This is a game where I would have wanted to draw because this is a game that both teams did really good.
Yeah.
Brentford worked out really good getting those three points from it, but if you had told me it was a 3-3 just knuckle fighting draw. Yeah. It looked like one of those old DBZ fights where guys are both bloodied and they're shooting around and then they stop and they're both like panting. But now like they don't do that because I watched an episode of Dragon Ball Super where like they're fighting a god and they're
they got all the cool
and they're both just standing still with speed lines around them and it doesn't hit the same. It doesn't hit the same as like the two guys being bloody, like Frieza having all the black marks on him and Goku like having that eye shut. This is what this match reminded me of.
Credit to Brentford. Go ahead.
This is the opposite of those tactical masterclasses between Arteta and Pep where they ends up being a draw at like the last minute and like both guys look like they hadn't moved and they had fought the battle in their minds. You know what I mean?
Mental warfare.
Yeah, this was like just a street fight and I liked it.
I respect it.
If that makes sense. I don't know if I'm describing it. I'm just trying to use it with paint a picture with imagery I know.
Yes. Perfect references, my friend. Into the next game here, guys. We have Palace at home losing to Fulham 2-0. Emile Smith Rowe gets on the score sheet. And the bomba clot, Harry Wilson again. Your mum's bomba clot.
Please
you
stop. Don't say Sorry. That.
You know that way, Dave.
No.
This game was entertaining too. Palace, unfortunately.
People can record this. That'll probably be on some kid's little thing where you'll hit the button.
Put it on your ringtone, kids. 443. Bomba clat. Fulham had a great performance. I think I'm more worried about Palace right now. Mm-hmm. I think their performance was worse than Fulham's. I guess I'm trying to say, like, Palace played bad more than Fulham played well. I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
I think Palace needs to put on some alarms.
Invest in January, please.
So I always forget the name of the player they sold to Bayern Munich.
Olise.
I didn't realize Olise was the kind of glue that held that attack together as much as he was. I thought it was more of a Olise, Eze, and then Mateta benefited from them.
It was. And that's the thing is they put way too much on Eze's plate where Eze has been struggling himself this season. Mateta has been struggling himself. They need a creative winger on the outside to really inspire this group to get out of this relegation fight. Because, dude, it's really not looking good for them.
Are they still in 17th?
Let me double check here.
Or 18th.
Palace are 18th right now.
So they're in the relegation. Oh.
Ipswich right now is staying in the Premier League. Up the Mama Lloyds. Sorry.
Meh. No, I mean, my mom will be happy. Oh, okay. She's got her little scarf, but I'm just like...
Oh, yeah, you get your Palace Eagles.
Yeah. Well, no, not even that. It's one of those things where it's like, there's too many teams I want to stay up in this league that I think there's only two teams I wouldn't mind going down.
Yeah.
And that's Leicester and Southampton. Every other team I want to stay.
We've seen enough of them, yeah.
Well, and what's funny is like Leicester, they have that amazing rags to riches to then getting picked clean by everybody and then just a slow descent down. And then they came right back up and they did a great job. But I don't know, man. I don't really need to see them anymore.
From one relegation team?
If I could just choose who comes up in replace of Leicester, I want to see Millwall back.
We want the Millwall-West Ham rivalry back. Mm-hmm. By the way, you see the Sheffield United Sheffield Wednesday clips before the game? Proper rivalry still exists.
Yeah, they do, man.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. I love
it. Yeah, Nottingham Forest, Notts County. Notts County is in the fourth division right now. They had some... they're starting to develop gang violence. Hooliganism is starting to reappear in Nottingham.
Nottingham people... As a man who's lived 1,000 years in 23 years.
I mean, you probably passed through Nottingham at some point.
Please stop the violence. This is where I use
We need the violence. The violence needs to return. Yeah, but this American sports need to bring the violence back.
This is where I go like Professor X and I point to my head and I'm putting it all into the minds of Forest people over there. The Nottingham people, you know?
Yeah. But no, like we need passion and like anger back in fandom.
No
like,
violence though.
But like remember in the NBA when the Knicks played the 76ers and there was like proper banter in an American stadium, not just beautiful celebrities
fans at the Sixers game, like just overwhelming.
Giving them shit. We need that back. Like I love that Tottenham calls us squatters and we need to go back to the south. Sorry, they tell us a technical term for it. I think it was like Thames or so, like the south of the river.
Yeah.
They need to like go back there. We're a real North London club. You're fake. And they look violent and angry. I need that. I want to go to a Premier League match and be afraid I'm going to get hit with a missile.
Yeah, completely disagree. Matt, I do not want to be hit with a missile, but let's keep it pushing.
A missile in their terminology is like anything projectile thrown. Okay. Like a rock can be a missile. Change can be a missile.
Gotcha.
Lighters.
I gotcha. Now, Matt, we only have a few games left. Sorry.
Two, right?
Microphone, guys. Yes. West Ham at home, drawing Everton 0-0. Matt, I watched this game at a cross-country meet for my girlfriend's
students.
It
looked boring as crap.
Yes. I have a lot of... By the way, Everton, Jordan Pickford, in my opinion, has the save of the season so far. There was a half volley that was tipped over the bar. Beautiful save. Pickford still has it somehow. But West Ham, you need to start Somerville. You need to start Kudus with him. Those are the two promising players. And stop starting Mikel Antonio. Get some pace up top, please. But credit to Everton because this was a well-deserved draw, maybe even a win for him. Into the very last game here, guys. A barn burner of a last game. Wolves at home defeating Southampton 2-0. Matt, this was a comfortable win for Wolves, but this is finally their first win of the season. What were your thoughts on the game?
I'm glad they got it.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm sorry, Southampton fans. Even though you have Ramsdale, you guys are going to be the punching bag this season.
And really quickly, Mateus Cunha, I want to see him at a better club next season. I feel like he's the Pedro Neto of Wolves this season. He is playing unbelievable football. Matt, do you want to do our predictions for next week so we can get the...
Well, I was going to say, do you want to take just get it done today and then we can just take next week off and come back when the league comes back?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. I'm getting the thing up because I didn't make it, but I'm sorry, guys. I want to enjoy the down weekend because I got a lot going on. I'm not sure I'd have time to record.
Let's run through these.
Okay. So week 12, we start out with Chelsea, Leicester City.
5:30 in the morning.
I'm sorry.
Stupid mother. I'm going to go with Chelsea. Enzo Maresca is
at Leicester.
Yeah, Enzo Maresca is returning back to the team that gave him the platform to go to Chelsea. He's going to say what's up to Harry Winks, and then he's going to flip him off. 3-0 to Chelsea. Up the Blues. Ooh. If you're not blue, you're not with the crew. If you're not blue, you're a bluser.
Where is this coming from?
I don't know,
dude. A lot of energy coming out of us this episode. I'm going to go 2-1. I think that Leicester will do that same.
How Vardy drinks a Red Bull at halftime and then just kicks a corner flag and flips off a baby mama.
Because he loves to get up for the big teams. And you're still, in his eyes, a big team.
Thanks, Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy loves Chelsea. He loves to make you guys look bad. All right, next up we have at Craven Cottage, Fulham hosting Wolves.
Ooh, I think this is
8 a.m. Saturday.
I think this is a fun game.
I'm still going Fulham 3-1.
3-1. If Bomba Clot Harry Wilson's there, I'm going to go with a 2-0 Fulham win too. But I think Wolves can do something here. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
I work with a Jamaican woman, and I'm going to ask her if that's offensive.
I would not say the Bomba Clot word around a woman.
Yes, thank you. At least you understand what you're saying. I remember a guy in New York subway, the London Tube. He was Jamaican, and he asked me a question. He would come off pushing a guy and yelling and giving birds and stuff and the tosser symbol and everything to this guy on the platform. And he asked me a question. He asked me what time it was. He goes, oh, you're American. This dude just starts unloading on me about everything wrong and how he wished he'd immigrated to America instead of the UK and how America's such a great country and telling all the people that were British on the train that they're they use that word many times in a very angry context, being very racially mean to groups that have largely immigrated to the UK, along with native people to the UK, and saying that he wants to move to my country because we understand that we need to make ourselves great again.
I respect it. You know, at least he has passion for something. But what I'm referencing is Obama what? Obama who? Obama Bomba Clot, mate. What's the next game for us, Matt?
I'm getting there. All right, we have Everton, Brentford at Goodison Park. Brentford travel from the nice city of London to Liverpool, which I've never been to.
Who you got in this one?
I think Brentford's going to capitalize on their momentum, and they're going to win this 2-0.
Brentford with a record of 5-1-5. So I definitely don't have a draw here because this is a team that's not.
They either win or they go home.
Yeah, I like that mentality, man. But I am going to go with Everton 1-0. I think it's a proper Deutsch masterclass. Or sorry, a proper Deutsch masterclass. No, fuck, dude. I can't do it. You know what? Go ahead.
Proper Sean Deitch.
Thank you. Sadio Mane? No. Sadio Mane? I don't know, dude. What's the next game for us? All right,
next up, at the Emirates, Nottingham Forest travel down from Nottingham from the Midlands to face Arsenal.
Is Chris Wood going to have another Ballon d'Or type of performance? Or yes. Is it going to be Bukayo Saka ready to pounce at his home stadium? Matt, who do you got?
I'm going to say this not knowing who Arsenal is going to field, just knowing that Ben White's not going to be there. I'm going to say 2-0 to the Arsenal.
Okay, good answer. I'm going to agree with you. 2-0 to Arsenal.
Okay, next up we have Bournemouth versus Brighton.
Oof. I'll be watching this one while you're watching your goons play.
At the Vitality Stadium in beautiful South Beach. Actually, this is the Battle of South Beach, the South Coast.
That's sick. I respect it. I hope there's some proper banter at this game. I think this will be a very entertaining game.
They're kind of separated, but they're both on the southern.
Yeah, I respect it. Battle for the ocean, we'll call it.
Battle for the English Channel.
There you go. I'm going to go with Irola's side on this one at home, just simply because they're at home. I think they find a way to beat Brighton 2-1.
I think Brighton's going to be too much, but since the home advantage is going to carry over, I think it's going to be 1-1.
Fair enough. I can see that. What's the next game for us, Matt?
All right. Next up, we have Aston Villa versus Crystal Palace. In Villa Park, I think, unfortunately, because it's at Villa Park, I think Villa's going to win this probably 2-1.
2-1. Yeah, I think Palace do get on the score sheet. 7-1 to Villa.
Wow.
I'm sorry, man. I mean, the lineup Palace had last week involved three center backs, and one of those center backs was not playing center back. He was playing center defensive midfield. I think Lasnier is really struggling to find his best side right now.
Gotcha.
So.
All right, now we come on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Those were all the 8 a.m. games after the Chelsea match. We have Manchester City hosting Tottenham Hotspur.
Sheesh.
And they were the bogey team for Manchester City at their ground. So this isn't the bogey. This is the game they usually win.
Yeah. I still think this is going to be a crazy game. I think both teams score at least 2 goals because that's how struggling both defensive sides are. I'm going to go with 3-2 to City.
Okay, so I have no clue what this win probability on Google comes from, but they have City 64%, draw 19, 17% Tottenham win. I think it's going to...
No love for Tottenham.
I think Tottenham's going to lose this, and I think City's going to do like a 3-1.
Okay, respect.
Because I think that their drive, their all attack, I think Pep can still defeat that with the center backs and midfielders he has, and they'll just... allow Haaland to just manhandle that broken back line they have without Van de Ven. Yeah.
This could be the game where City start to kick on.
Yeah, sure. I think this City will come back in this one, and I think it'll be a convincing win. Gotcha. At the expense of poor seal-clapping Ange Postecoglou. All right, next up we have Southampton-Liverpool. Liverpool is traveling south to the third Southern Coast team. After watching what happened to Southampton at the hands of Wolves, I think this is going to be 4-0.
4-0 to Liverpool as well. But I like the way Southampton plays. They could possibly get on the score sheet, but I don't think there's a result here.
That was the Sunday 7 a.m. game. This is the Sunday 9:30 a.m. game. Ipswich versus Manchester United. The Amarin...
Arrival.
We call it Premier.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Amarin Arrival to go with the double A's.
Gotcha.
The Amarim arrival.
But they're going to Portman Road, which is Ipswich's. So his first game's away against a team that just gotten their first win. I'm thinking that he's going to
struggle.
It's a 1-1. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
I think with the new system, I think it'll just be a little bit different for Ipswich to find holes this early because it is going to be a different United side. I'm going to go with United 2-0.
Okay. All right, next up is a Monday game. Yep. Monday, November 25th. We have 1 p.m. It's going to be Newcastle hosting West Ham. So I think that Newcastle is going to win this 3-0.
Yeah, unless West Ham listen and stop starting either 38-year-old Danny Ings or a 29-year-old Antonio that I'm not really impressed with, I agree. I'm going to go with 2-0 to Newcastle.
Okay. Well, that covers our games, man. Do you have any stoppage time? I know we kind of threw a couple of them in.
No stoppage time,
guys. Because I didn't write anything down this time.
But we are not going to be here next week. We're going to be taking our fall break, our own little fall break. But then the following week for Thanksgiving, we're going to give thanks to you guys by talking some football, talking some freaking terrible things that can get us canceled on a weekly basis.
You can get canceled. I don't think I've said anything super offensive today.
Today. Fair enough.
Well, I mean, I've pissed off other fan groups, but I haven't gone after any kind of national or ethnic things.
I'll kiss your forehead. Matt, close us out, my friend.
All right, live long and watch some football. And guys, it's not you, it's us. I think we need a little bit of recuperation time. All right, bye.
Oh, my gosh.